You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
It's really interesting to do what I do. I have one of the greatest jobs in the world. I speak on Sundays, and I go to church 51 Sundays a year. I don't go on Christmas. That Sunday is usually, you know, cantatas and things like that. But I speak 51 weeks a year on Sundays, but Monday through Friday and Saturdays generally travel. I speak to the military worldwide and to our public schools. I'm still doing schools, Pastor. It's crazy. It seems like actually when the war started in 2001, I stopped all of our television ministry. I stopped all of our crusades that we were doing in the stadiums around the country. I stopped almost all schools. I still maintained a little bit of a thread of it, and it all came back. The schools all came back, and they're asking us all over the country. And I'm telling you, when you can address as many kids as we have, in 40 years, I've been doing school since 1976, but I quit counting several years ago. We've addressed over 7 million students face-to-face in public schools. And the benefit is, I mean, that's no record anybody goes around trying to achieve, right? It's like saying, I've had more pimples than anybody. So who really cares? Well, I do, because no matter where I go in the world to work with our military, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Bosnia, Kosovo, North Africa, South Korea, I can go on and on the countries that I'm sent to, no matter where I go. You know what happens? Hey, Mr. Reaver. You came to my school. I'd say, Lord of mercy, where in the world, how many years have I been doing? And then it gets bad when an old colonel, yeah, you came to my school when I was in junior high. I said, shut up, man, I'm not that old. But I'm 72 going on 50, 50's the new 30, and Common Core Math says I'm 21, so I like Common Core Math. Wow, it's fun to be back. It's fun to be back where people know how to enjoy church. Instead of a mausoleum, you guys come and enjoy the presence of God. You have laughter. You have great music, by the way. Do you realize what you got on this platform up here? You got some great musicians and singers. I go to churches. You should. When they get up and say, "Y'all sing, y'all pray while we try to sing." They start singing, I start praying. It's really bad. I said, God, help me to get through it. Forget them. Anyway, I'm having fun. I still don't do well standing up, so this morning I'll sit down for much of my presentation. Some of you may wonder why. I never don't go into big explanations, but in 2011, I was in Iraq, and I jumped out of a helicopter, and I landed with my feet went out from under me in the soft sand. And sand is like water. If you push on it slowly, it'll give way. If you hit it real hard, real fast, it's like concrete. And my feet went out, and I sat down so hard, I broke 6 vertebrae, and I went paralyzed. And my left leg, it ceased to function. And for 2 years, I was on braces to walk. Now I have trouble with steps. They still scare me. I think I can do it, but my brain just says, let somebody help you. So you don't, you know, some guys will do anything to get on TV, and falling's one of them. But I'm just telling you, today, look here, no braces. I'm standing at least I'm walking right. Thank you. And it segues into me telling you this morning, unfortunately, for me, if not for you, I will use myself as an illustration to my message. Now, by that, I'm saying I will talk a lot about what has happened to me. Now, I don't like talk about myself, and I'm not that egotistical, and when you've been burned and you're disfigured, which I'm a lot better now than I ever have been. It's the best I've ever been presentable since I was injured. But I got to tell you, when I'm through, you'll see I'm really not talking about me. I'm just the broken vessel that has been put back together. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men are trying hard to put Humpty back together again. But then along came the king, and Humpty's back. What do you think of that? Humpty's doing good this morning. I'm just here to tell you. Just thought I'd say that. But my point is, I will use myself for an illustration to get to the point that it's not about me at all. It's about Christ in me. It's not about you It's about Christ in you. That's what makes the difference. In fact, if audiovisual has, I forgot to check earlier. Do you guys have that picture, that solo picture? If you do, I'm going to ask you to put it up. Now, this is 2 years ago. Now, you can count about three more seconds since it's coming down. Take it down, please. I don't even want to look at it. That's horrible. That's what I look like after I left here 2 years ago. I went from here straight to the Brook Army Medical Center, and that's what they did to me. I mean, I looked at that. Whenever I came to and I saw that, I got so mad at my doctors. I said, what Stone Age University did you get your medical degree from? You know, I was enraged because I never thought I'd speak publicly again. And you can see why, right? Would you get up in front of somebody with a face like that? Whew. Not only that, but it hurt. It hurt like crazy. They lifted my face and rebuilt my entire. This part of my face was not burned. Third degree was burned. Second degree. Everything else wasn't just burned. It was blown off. For those of you who wouldn't know it, I lost 60 pounds. They estimated in a matter of 1 second, 60 pounds of flesh was blown off my body. I went from 190 pounds. That morning I weighed. I worked with SEAL Team 1. I was a brown water black beret. I was not a SEAL. I was a brown water black beret. The smallest military organization in the U.S. Navy with the highest killed in action per capita. Now, you have to understand you can't prove that. I can't prove it. Because if your body goes down with a boat, and the little boats are made of fiberglass, very easily destroyed. If your body went down with a boat and they don't recover, you're not killed in action, even though they know you're dead. You're missing in action until they get something of your body back. And so MIA is what it would look like, but it's KIA. And on July the 26th, 1969, yes, teenager, I know what you're thinking, right after the War of 1812. It was after, but not right after. Oh, well, that grenade ripped me apart. So I'm pretty good at talking about grenades. In fact, I saw the other day where Alabama was playing Texas A&M, and A&M kept throwing hand grenades at Alabama. They pulled the pin and threw them back. I thought you'd like that. I could have said Clemson, but I wanted to keep sanity in the church. But that day, that hand grenade stripped me down pretty bad, and I shouldn't be alive. And I'll get into some of that later, but I want to get to what I'm really here to talk about. I want to get to the point that suffering is not God's judgment against you. I'm going to say that again. Suffering is not God's judgment against you. God didn't make you sick because you sinned. If that was the case, why did Jesus die? I thought he paid for all of our sin. Did he only pay for most of it and we have to make up the difference? What a slap in the face of Jesus to say, well, you almost succeeded. Now, because of you not finishing it, God has to take it out on me. No, Jesus paid for it all. But let me tell you this, we punish ourselves. You know, God didn't get you drunk driving to a tree and get killed. You know, man does that on his own. God didn't have to judge that. We mess our own futures up, don't we? You still with me? So I'm trying to tell you that God didn't blow me up in Vietnam that day. This is life. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, God did not blow up Dave Reaver. It's written in red. I wrote it. It's in the Bible, and it's in red. Okay. It's early, isn't it? But I'm here today to tell you that God's the master of taking disaster and changing our tragedies into triumph. That almost sounds like a poet, doesn't it? But that's the facts. He'll take whatever our life has been or may be right now, whatever it is, and he'll use it. And so I put that picture up for this reason. You see, when I got so angry at my doctors, it was because I didn't think I had a future. I thought everything I'd been doing for all these decades, I thought, well, that's over. I'll never, ever, ever speak publicly again. And some of you may not know this, but I have several occupations, we'll call it. Besides doing what I do right now, I'm employed as a contractor for the Department of Defense. And that's why I'm sent all over the world to do what I do, training in bouncing back from disaster. It's called resiliency. And I'm a master resiliency trainer in the U.S. military for all four branches. But I have another occupation. I'm a fundraiser and public spokesperson for American Airlines their charity called Air Power Foundation. And I speak for them on many occasions. I just came from a presentation in Dallas just recently, just having come back from England. And I raised money to help build homes for guys that have no legs and they can't reach cabinets up high. So everything has to be built on a lower and the doors have to be wider for wheelchairs. So we build homes for heroes. We do all kinds of projects. One of them is called Snowball Express. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I may have shared this once before with you, but it's worth repeating because I wanted to get to my message point shortly. Whenever I saw myself in the mirror, that what you just saw, I was so angry, I told my wife, I said, get me out of here, take me home. I didn't even check out, I just left. I was so mad. I was probably dragging an IV tube behind me. I was infuriated. I got home and I shut the door behind me and I looked at Brendan and I said, nobody walks in that door except Matt, our son, to pick up my cold, dead body off the floor. Now, I wasn't talking about committing suicide. I didn't only cross that bridge years ago. I burned that bridge. I'll never take my life by suicide. I figured I'm going to die anyway because when you lose your vision, somebody's going to perish. And I lost my vision that day. I'm not talking about 20/20 eye vision. I'm talking about I lost my perspective of hope. And hope is the last line of defense against suicide. And I lost my hope, but not to the point of killing myself because I figured without my vision, I won't have any reason to live. I'll die of natural causes. Unnatural to me. And my phone rang, and it said American Airlines. I picked it up. I knew. When they called, they're putting me on an airplane and sending me on some mission for some cause that they believe in. This was for Snowball Express. I said, how you doing? And the guy on the other end said, I'm doing good. How are you, Dave? Y'all see that crack right there in my teeth? See, can you see it? I lied right through it. I said, I'm doing great when I wasn't doing great. I was so depressed and I was in such a dark place emotionally. He said, I have a mission for you. I said, where and when? He said, it's going to be in Dallas. It's going to be coming up on Christmas. It's called Snowball Express. I have 1,600 children. Every one of their dads have been killed in the global war on terror fighting for our freedom. I said, I'll go. And my wife looked at me. She said, what about that door? Women. Pff. You can't live with them and you can't live with them. I said, I didn't say nobody would go out that door. Man's got to be something partially right anyway. And so I said yes and hung up. And she looked at me, she said, we got a problem, don't we? I said, yes, we got a big problem. I need a mask. Wouldn't you? You would hide your face behind. You'd hide something. You don't want your face to be seen like that. Children especially. So I called Phantom of the Opera. Their mask covers the wrong half. Some guys just don't have any luck at all. You know what I'm saying? So we made a mask for me to hide behind. Are you listening to me? What masks have you made for yourself to hide behind? What ugly part about you are you so ashamed of that you hide it with all kinds of paraphernalia to present yourself hidden and nobody see the real pain, the scars? You see, here's the problem. I was looking at where I was. My doctors were celebrating. When I came to from that surgery, after 12 hours of surgery, I came to, they were celebrating. They actually said to me, Dave, the surgery was perfect. Everything went great. No issues. And I'm thinking, wow, I must have gone from looking good to good looking. And then I saw myself. You see what I'm saying? When we see ourselves, we never see. Oh, I know we have an inflated ego at some times, but when you're alone in the dark, that inflated ego becomes reality. And the reality is not so egotistical. It is self-deprecating. We hate ourselves. You know I'm telling you the truth. And I didn't like what I saw. And so I made a mask to hide behind. You see, I was seeing where I was, My doctors were seeing where I was going to be. When you come to Jesus, in the darkness of our lives, we know we're not worthy. We're ugly. We're despicable. And Jesus is celebrating? Really? Yeah. Because that doctor knows, he knows that we think where we are, but he's looking at what we're going to be. And he celebrates. He rejoices and he thinks you're good looking. I do too now. I have a nose. It's a boy. I'm so proud of it, you guys. This is my second time here. My first time was last year with a nose. This is my second time with a nose. This time I came with eyelids. They made eyelids 90 days ago, and now I can wink at my wife again. They made lips, and I can kiss my wife again. And they made a nose. I can stick in your business again. You see, I see now where I am. And to be honest with you, it's in the best health I've had probably in 50 years. I got to tell you something. Life sometimes gives us a hit. I am not emotional. I'm allergic. Your carpet makes my eyes water. It's that dust out there. But you see, God sees where we're going to be. And sometimes as we travel and work for the Lord, I'm trying to get my handkerchief out here, but I can't do that very good without thumbs. I'm all thumbs. It's like hitchhiking in England. You don't get very far. I thought I was shaking my fist at them last week. Then I'd use a different finger. They tried to run over me. I didn't know. Oh, well. Now I'm all right. Thank you. And so God sees where we're going to be, and he rejoices. And if we can see what we're going to be through his eyes, it'll get us through those dark moments. So I go to this event in Dallas, and I step behind the curtain backstage, and American Airlines and their executive officers are there, and they all know me, and they put their arms around me, hugged me, and said, "Dave, thanks for coming." One of them said, "Dave, it's got to be really difficult." And you see that crack in my teeth? No, I'm good. I lied again. People say, "Do you ever get butterflies?" "Yeah." "What do? "Make them fly in formation." Take what you've got and give it all. It doesn't matter how little. It doesn't matter how insignificant you think it is. To somebody, you're going to change their life, because not only the gift that you gave, but the extent you went to give that gift. You not only gave it all, but you gave it all enthusiastically. You gave it all with a commitment. You gave it all because you loved them all. And I stood backstage there thinking, this is going to be tough. And I had my little mask on. And then it got worse. They gave me a little 28-year-old Miss American to introduce me. Oh, my goodness. She was all of her parts are in the right places. And she's arm candy, hanging on my right arm, escorting me out. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, no. These kids are going to look up here, and they're going to think the beauty and the beast. But God knows how to deal with Dave Reaver. Let me tell you something. He is a great physician. He knows if I can just laugh a little bit, all my darkness goes away. And I started laughing so hard inside when I thought, well, I can't step out here and call her a beast in front of those kids. Just like you, I laughed inside. My darkness went away, and I gave one of the best presentations I've ever given, because God is faithful. Give it up for Jesus. See, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. And I'm here today to tell you, if it's all about you, you never will be happy. You'll always be looking in that mirror at the ugly thing you think you are. But when Jesus looks at you, he sees what you're going to be. And in his eyes, you already are. Isn't that sweet? Let me read a little scripture for you. If you have your iPhones, turn with me. That was a joke. Let's see if I can make this happen. All right. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to go to verse 17. Let's go to verse 16 first. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, say outward. That's talking about the flesh. right? The physical. Yeah, everybody agree with that? Say amen. Yeah. All right, that's the part we try to cover up with a mask. For this cause, we faint not. Because of this, we don't give up. Though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man, that's your spirit, is renewed, not just once, not just twice, but every day. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, every day, every 1 second past midnight. It's like playing golf. You go to the next hole, it doesn't matter how bad you were in the one past, you get a brand new start. That's why I love golf. I get more swings on one hole than some of those golfers. They're all so proud, they only take two or three swings. Not me. I get a bunch of them in there. Y'all got that. That's cool. I just thought of that. I've never said that before. I may keep that one. For our light affliction, say light affliction. The reason I'm asking you to say these things is when you see it, hear it, and say it, it goes into LTM, long term memory. I don't want you to forget these phrases because this will help you if you can remember them, especially when the lights go out. And we're not talking about daylight and darkness here. We're talking about light as in not heavy. For our not so heavy affliction, which is but for a moment. We think it lasts forever, don't we? We think, I'll never get out of this one. That's what I thought when I looked in that mirror. I'll never be able to do what I'm doing right now. I'll never be able to speak publicly. I thought it was a permanent thing, but it was only a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, it's not but a small thing, but it has a huge result. It's a weighty thing. It's light to start with. It's heavy when it ends up. Let me illustrate a little bit better. How can I say this? I'm thinking, which is dangerous. My wife doesn't like it when I think. I do something stupid because I thought it would work. A light affliction, whenever the hand grenade that I was trying to throw in Vietnam exploded 6 inches from my right ear. It blew my face off. It blew off half my skin. From my waist up, I lost half my skin. Actually, I went from 190 pounds, I started to tell you earlier, that morning working out with the SEAL Team 1 that I was assigned to, was not a SEAL. I keep saying that because I don't like people associating me as a SEAL. I was very proud to be a member of the smallest of all the Special Operations Command of the U.S. Navy, the Brownwater Black Beret. So that morning I weighed 190 pounds, and it was a little bit of competition with some of the guys in the SEALs to not get over the weight that we started out at, and 190 for me. That evening, after the explosion, that evening, they weighed my body in the bed. They deduct the weight of the bed. You know how much I weighed? 130 pounds. 60 pounds of flesh was blown off me, burned off me, and I would never again be the same. 1 second to totally change my destiny. Now, I spoke that clearly. Not destination. My destination remains the same. I'm going to heaven because I gave my heart to Jesus. That's my destination, is to go to heaven. My destiny is how I'm going about getting there. Very circuitous route. It can be 1,000 different directions. And let me tell you, not all roads lead to Calvary. Some people go down roads that don't lead to Calvary. They look for Jesus in all the wrong places. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, just so you believe something. That's a lie out of hell. It does matter what you believe. But destiny is how you go about getting to your destination. And destiny is what we focus on so much because that's what we live, what did it say a while ago as I read? Day by day. It's constantly being renewed. This challenge that is devastating is constantly being updated, upgraded, and constantly being adjusted to get you to your destination. So your destiny is how you go about getting there. And if you go about getting there by shaking your fist in God's face saying, why me, God? You probably won't get to your destination, not the one you want. And don't go asking that, why me, God? What if he answered you? I don't know, George. There's something about you I don't like. I don't want to know. Let me tell you something. I just leave that in the hands of God. Here's what I learned out of my lessons from suffering. And we learned through, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. You mean Jesus suffered? Yeah. Well, if suffering is a consequence of sin, where did Jesus sin? He didn't. He never sinned. So why did he suffer? Because he was to learn obedience through that suffering. When we have events in our life that are difficult, tragic even, horrible, indescribable, pain that you can't talk about because there's no words. Let me tell you something. He didn't do that to you, but out of that you'll learn things that when somebody else gets hurt like you were and they say, how did you make it? You get to lift up Jesus and your answer becomes their answer. Then your tragedy has been turned into triumph. Give a hand clap to the Lord. The truth sets you free. So, they don't call me to go to these military installations worldwide because I'm good looking, although it's getting closer. They don't call me because of my mighty military strength. I have to sit down to talk. They don't call me for my intellect, my mighty mind. I was in the top 10% of the lower one-third of my class. I failed math, but I did find out that 5 out of 4 people don't understand fractions. If you didn't get that, pastor's teaching on fractions next Sunday. So if we understand what I just read to you, a light affliction has a weight of glory in response. Let's put it this way. The old Welsh brethren, when they would pass each other along the way, this is in the 1800s, I suspect, they wouldn't greet each other with, hi, how you doing? Or like we do in America, what's up, dog? Aren't we profound? The depth of our thought. You know how they greeted each other? My brother, have you been to the thin place lately? What? Have you been to the, that sounds like, have you been to Jenny Craig? No. What's the thin place? The Bible tells us that we see through a glass darkly. That means it's not clear, but we see through it. Nobody wants to talk about the part we see through. You know why? Because then we're responsible for what we understand. And we don't want to be held accountable for what we're being held responsible for. Now, think about this. I cannot see everything on the other side of that veil. I will tell you this, the older I get, the more I see on the other side. We kind of rub that veil thin. And the older you get, the more you think about what's on that other side. When you're young, you don't give it any thought. Consequences, are you kidding me? We think that life is like dropping a BB in the ocean. Let me tell you something. The weight of sin that so easily besets us, like a BB in the ocean on the other side of the veil, it's a bowling ball in a bathtub. And I'm telling you, it has huge consequences. So if we think we can just sin and get right with God and sin and he'll forgive and sin, he'll forgive. Let me tell you, after a while, there's no more water left in the bathtub to splash. You run out of luck, as the world says it. So I'm trying to tell you that whenever you go through a time of suffering in your life or difficulty, don't blame God and don't worry. It's going to get better because God's going to use it, a small thing compared to the results. So I'm going to tell you a very small thing happened to me in Vietnam. It was small compared to what God uses it for. So when they send me overseas, you know what it takes to train one special operator? I work for Special Operations Command, both of the U.S. Army and of the Air Force. AFSCOM, Air Force Special Operations Command, I work right down the road over here at Hurlburt Field, Pensacola. I go there often. I've been there so many times, if I call pastor every time to take you out to dinner, he'd be broke. Let me tell you something about, it takes $1 million to train one special operator. It cost $1 million to train me, all things being equal economically. Of course, it was less dollars, but a dollar meant more back then. So $1 million to train a special operator. Then it cost $1 million a year to maintain that special operator in the field. So when one of our guys goes into a dark place and he can't find his way out, and he starts getting suicidal. They send me because I'm a good investment. For very few dollars, relatively speaking, they'll send me to some hellhole dark place on the planet for one guy. Because if I can keep that one guy from committing suicide, I've saved our country $1 million investment of having to train another guy. Think about where I'm taking you on this. How much is a soul worth? Because you see, I don't go to save the government $1 million. I go to save a soul that the blood of Jesus was shed for, and there's no price tag you can put on that. And why? Why me? Why me? Sometimes the why me can be a positive question. Instead of why me, God, and he doesn't kill us because of the things we've done. Why me? Why would he choose somebody like me? I mean, I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in a household of faith. If I wrote a book, it'd be called The Cross and the Butter Knife. I wouldn't know what a switchblade was. I never had a fight. I was born to a mom that, when I was born, she almost died, never did recover. Ultimately died after decades of suffering, curled up in a fetal position in a nursing home. When I was born, I had to have a Mexican nanny to help raise me. We lived right on the border of Mexico. Her name was Maria Rubio. She was a wonderful Christian lady. And she took care of me when I was a baby. I didn't learn to speak English till I was 6 years old. And then they told me I was not a Mexican. You know what that did to my Hispanic mind? It blew it. I mean, it short-circuited, tripped a breaker. How in the world can I not be what I thought I was? It was God's way of preparing me because I would go through categorical changes in my life that I had to survive those changes. One of them is not looking in the mirror, not knowing who it was. The other was standing up in front of 1,600 children and all their mamas and all their guests of those babies losing their daddy in the global war on terror. That was a huge change, and in 1 second it was done. I was free, free of the darkness that was trying to destroy me. So here we go in this little odyssey of my experience. It didn't happen in America. I was shot down in Vietnam, blew my boat up, set me on fire, and I'm on the bank of the river, and I fall over backwards. Everybody thought I was dead. I was listed killed in action for 34 years before they found out I weren't dead yet. And it was our senator that found out because she kept seeing my name pop up in the news of my travels in the Middle East with our troops. Who is this guy named Dave Rover, she thought. I know it looks like Rover, but it's not. It's Reaver. When they call me Rover, I growl and bite their ankle. Who is he? So they did an investigation to find out who I am. And they found out medical record was correct, my pay record was correct, but my service record in Kansas City or St. Louis, I guess, it had never been corrected. So they found out I wasn't dead. And all the medals that I was to have received 34 years earlier, now all of a sudden they all show up and the Navy SEALs send out my Purple Heart. And the most famous of all generals of modern time, Robinson Reisner, pinned all my medals on me. Is that important? No, except for one thing. For 34 years, I suffered. For 34 years, I hurt. And I felt like my government never thanked me. But 34 years later, those that are willing to wait, good things happen. My government thanked me and gave those medals. I still wear it because when people look at me and children scream and run into stuff, it's, you know, I have to have a reason for them to understand why I was there. It doesn't help when I go, ah, I shouldn't do that. You know, a little snot. That's what he gets. I'm over it. Teenagers ask, what happened to your face, dude? I tell them I was burned bobbing for French fries. One of them asked me, he said, did you get one? No. Men say, what happened to your face? He's uglier than me. I say, what happened to your mother? Ooh, you know you're ugly when you're born. They slap her. You see my mask? Did you just see the mask? I hide behind so many things that I don't know how to explain. I don't have time to explain. And I've been hiding behind my medals for years so that people will have an answer I don't have to give. I sit down in an airplane. I seek out the window to my right. I walk through the airport. I seek out the wall to the right because That's 50% less people asking, what happened to your vase? Because windows and walls don't ask embarrassing questions. So I take what I have left and I gave it to Jesus. I said, it's not much. He said, you're right. It's not much, but it's all you got and I'll take it. And he got this old hand that won't straighten out. But it's a good mic stand and a preaching finger, the only finger that works on that hand. Repent, see? Do you get what I'm telling you? There's a lot of things in life that we're going to lose. We can't keep everything. And there's a disease out there called age, and it's deadly. And some of you have symptoms. Not me. That's not my gray hair. That's somebody else's gray hair. He lost it and I found it. My hair was blown off in Vietnam. It was blown off in South Carolina the other day in a high wind. I was chasing it and the dog beat me to it. That's the truth. I was laughing while I was left of my head off. Well, that day when the grenade blew, it did blow my hair off. When it blew my ear off. Plastic. I got all these parts. I put them on bed the other day. My wife said, good night. I was in the other room. Pretty bad joke, isn't it? So God takes what we have left out of all of our suffering in life that you're not going to be immune from because you're a Christian. It almost seems like because you're a Christian, you may experience more, because God will allow things to happen that will make us better for his use in the kingdom of God. Because when somebody says they hurt and you say, I know how you feel, you better have a scar to prove it. And not all scars are visible. Some of you have more scars inside of you than I have on the outside of me. Oh, that one went through. You got that, didn't you? See, I've never been molested. I don't know what that's like. Some of you have been hurt in ways I would never have been able to endure. I would have caved under the pressure. Not only does he not allow more than we can handle, he does allow more than we can handle. Because whenever we can't handle it and we let him handle it, then that's when we see the miracle. That's what it's all about. That's when the broken vessel is filled with the glorious power and presence of God. And it's called a treasure in earthen vessel up at the beginning of that chapter in verse 7. But 10 verses later, he's talking about the light affliction, that small thing that becomes such a big thing when we turn it over to Jesus and he uses it for his glory. So it's not about us. It's about him and you. And here's what I hear people say all the time. Be all that you can be in Christ, and that is right. Marvelous. I have no argument. Be all that you can be in Christ. What happens if we turn the table on that and say, let Christ be all that he can be in us? Now, they both have the same result, I guess. But the emphasis is on him in us instead of us in him. It's not about me first. It's about him first. So I'm trying to tell you, let Jesus be all he can be in you. And watch the darkness that once surrounded you, that surrounds others, go away when you, as a light, walk in and change the entire atmosphere of the situation because you walked into that place and Jesus is in charge when you walked in. Am I making any sense? If I am, say amen. Okay, I know you're out there. You're getting it. So I want to come to a conclusion here, and I'm watching time because we do have another service, and I think I'm just about up on my time right here. So with that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to Pastor, and I will tell you this, that we do have the ministry has you, giving you, sorry, I'll get it out here in a minute. The ministry is giving you an opportunity to support what we do. All of you, I think, are aware of the fact that we have these two ranches, one in Colorado, one in Texas. They're called Eagle Summit Ranches. Eagles Summit there. That's when the eagles gather at the top of the mountain. And in both ranches, they're magnificent. I mean, built with millions of dollars, for the most part cash. Colorado's totally paid for. Texas is less than 8% debt. Less than 8%. That's pretty good. But y'all heard about the floods right at the same time y'all were suffering with a hurricane that graciously God allowed this church to be unaffected. I came from over in Florida last Sunday, and I can't remember the name of the town, devastated, blown away. I mean, trees down everywhere. This is what I'm asking you. Consider that time. Nobody recorded what happened to our part of the neck of the woods. A little tiny town called Junction, Texas, had to be helicopter evacuated because the river rose 44 feet above its bottom, which was something like 20 feet above flood level. It wiped out entire parts of that community. One woman and her husband floated 23 miles down the Llano River. He didn't make it. He ended up slipping away into the waters. She made it. Four died. Other stories beyond stories. But ours, our Texas ranch, had a 5-foot wall of water come right through it. Wiped out all of my brand new road base. Tens of thousands of dollars of road base went away. All of our landscaping on our brand new chapel and on all of our new cabins, one of them y'all built. Thankfully, the cabins and the chapel were unhurt. Give the Lord a clap offering on that. Please rejoice with me. But in 15 minutes, we lost about $250,000 just like that. And then a few weeks later, we're in there getting everything restored, and it hit again. Never happened in the history down there. The more rain in 5 days than we've had in 5 years. So the damage was immense. To come here and ask you to help me support that with all the work you're doing, I feel like a cheat. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to say it. All I can tell you is this. If there's anything above and beyond your commitment to this church, don't you put 1 cent into our program that's committed to this church and its building program. But if above and beyond that, you can help us, I'm urgently asking for your help. We're $70,000 out of what ended up being almost $400,000 in damage total. Out of that, we're $70,000 from closing the books, and we did not go borrow money, except we're a little bit slow paying it back, if you want to call it that. You heard of American Express. Thank God. No, that's awkward, isn't it? I don't know who to give credit to, American Express or God. So let's give God credit. Amen? That way, the $70,000 I have due, and half of it's due now. The other half will be in another few weeks. But if you can help me with that first half now, it would be a huge load of whatever you can do. I am not asking you, please understand, I'm not asking you to do something you don't want to do. If it offends you that I ask, you misunderstood me. I'm sorry. Let me clarify. If you get offended, I wasn't talking to you anyway. I only talk to people that are not offended. So then you're out of the picture. You don't have to worry. You don't have to give. And you certainly won't ever get. But that's okay. We'll go down that road later. Don't be offended. If you can give a $1,000 gift, the man that's matched those funds for the last 15 years is still doing it. If you give a $1,000 gift, it's worth $2,000. So if you were to give today, let's say you gave a $5,000 gift. I'm only speculating. Look at me. I can't give him. My wife and I turned in our salary. We turned in. We want to see this thing done and done without us taking. So we're giving. But I'm tapped out. I don't have anything left. If you can give that $1,000, it's worth $2,000. So I want you to understand. His name is Banker, B-O-E-N-K-E-R. You can find him online. And he will match it. If you gave $1,000 up to $100,000, he matches, including the $100,000, which he's now done 7 times. Think about what I just told you. So everybody needs a sugar daddy, amen? Oh, I love this guy. I've known him most of my life, and he and I are best friends. And he's ready, but he won't match collective giving. It has to be individuals or companies, but he won't match. And the reason is, he says, I'm not your sole source. God's your source. But I'll work with anybody that's willing to give. I'll match their gift. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, that said, a dollar is as important to God as $1,000 if it's our best gift. Amen. So nobody can take me wrong on that. I'm just telling you the availability of a matching fund. Pastor's going to come. I'm going to hand off the mic. And then, Pastor, if it's okay at that point, I'd like to mention what I have and some books here, but I want you to pray over this. I don't want to run. It's too late. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share my heart.